Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad to? Amen. You know, we are the temple of God, not this building. How many of you brought God with you tonight? Somebody said, I wonder if the Spirit's going to be in the service tonight. Well, are you here? He's in you, right? He's in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I was earlier, as we were getting ready to come on to church, I flipped on the Rhema Brazil has a app just like we have the Rhema app you can watch, and I flipped on there, and Pastor Craig was serving communion there and at the church in Campina Grande, and then after a while they took communion, then he gave an altar call, and several people responded to get born again and rededicated, and hallelujah. How many of you know Brother Craig was telling this story about the Christmas gift, right? It's got your name on it, and tonight you get to unwrap your gift. What's that gift? The gift of salvation. So praise the Lord. Great things happening all over the world. This is the time and the hour that we are living. You know, here, I was honored to be able to minister for Pastor the night before Thanksgiving after the lights went on, and it's just been on my heart for a long time that we've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And so that night we talked about this time in which we live. And I still want to kind of stay on that subject tonight. I just haven't got everything out I feel like we need to say about it. And for us as a church and as Christians, this time in which we live. You know, it didn't surprise God what's happening in the earth today. You know, unfortunately, we've had another outbreak of violence and terrorism. As we mentioned, the devil is a terrorist. That's how he operates. And so anytime you see something like this, doesn't matter what the affiliation is, you know that person's affiliated or was led or yielded to the devil in that moment, in that time. And so we got to be careful we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that we make sure we stay focused at our enemy, the enemy of all mankind, that's the devil. You know this, the devil hates every person equally. He doesn't, well, I don't know, he doesn't, not like God loves everyone equally, but the devil, he hates us because we are potentially in the image of God, and he doesn't want that whatsoever. And so he hates everyone, but that's okay, we hate him back. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Isn't that right? But these times in which we live, we need to make sure that we are operating and taking heed to what the Bible, especially the New Testament, tells us about these times. And so with that in mind, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7, and let's just see where this takes us. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus made some interesting comments concerning here the last days that are echoed. We're going to look tonight at Jesus, his comments, at Paul, at Peter, and at John. Four different witnesses, if you will. How many of you know if you went to a trial and they had called witnesses, can't just be one, you know, and the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three. So we're going to look at, I believe tonight, four, what each of these four said. Of course, all of it by the Holy Spirit, even what Jesus said here. Matthew 7, I want to begin in verse 15, and I'm going to read down through verse 23, and then we'll come back and comment. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, it's interesting here that the warning of Jesus is beware of false prophets. Well, just by comment, then, if there's false prophets, there's real prophets. Isn't that true? Prophet, in one sense, is to speak by inspiration of God. But in the office of the prophet, by divine inspiration at the moment, the prophet speaks. Now, a prophet is a preacher and or a teacher of the word of God also, primarily. But here he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you looking like sheep. But they're not really sheep. What are they? They're wolves. And he talks here about these things are going to take place in the last day. And he says, how will we recognize them? He said, by their fruits. Now, I find that interesting that, you know, because he goes on. The reason we read 21 through 23 is because most of the things he lists there, most of us would probably say, I know I would have. Well, that's the fruit, right? I mean, there's miracles taking place in the name of Jesus. Devils being cast out in the name of Jesus. Prophecy in the name of Jesus. They said, in your name. Well, he said, I'm going to say to those people, I never knew you. The reason was because they weren't doing the will of God. They were doing things. Now, you think about that. Now, that's kind of interesting here. Wonderful works done in the name of Jesus, yet these people weren't even, he said, I never knew you. That means they never were Christian. Now, what does that tell us? What works? The name. The name works. You know, there was others that came and said, you know, we cast out devils in your name, or James and John, we found those casting out devils in your name, and we forbid them to do it. And he said, don't forbid them. Don't forbid them. See, the name works. But he said, these I never knew. So there's got to be some, and we'll look at a few things, but there's got to be some type of way to know whether or not this is the will of God or not. Now, I want to say this to us. God has equipped every Christian. Every Christian, wave your hand at me. All right? So God has equipped you and I with an inward witness by the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us ought to receive by an inward witness whether or not this is of God or this is not of God. Whether something that is being taught, whether this, what this person saying, is this God or is this not? So we have the inward witness. Number two, we all have the word of God. We are so blessed, especially here in this nation, that almost all of us have several Bibles. Right? You know, I've been places where even pastors didn't even have a Bible. I don't know how they were preaching, but bless their hearts. You know, so you get them Bibles and they just love the Bible. And I've seen them just melt onto the floor and clutching that Bible in tears that they now have a Bible they can read in their own language. Praise the Lord. You know, could you imagine trying to preach without a Bible, trying to pastor without a Bible? Amen. But they, you know, we're so blessed here that we have the Word of God. We have the witness of the Spirit, and we have the Word of God. And then, from that Word, we find out certain things. In fact, let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. I found, and we'll see, there's so many scriptures, so many ways we can go, and we're not going to go, everybody say, praise the Lord. Yeah, we're not going to go to every scripture in the Bible tonight, okay? All right, so we won't be here. Sometimes, you know, you hear a preacher say that there's so many verses we could go to, and you're like, oh, not tonight, please, not tonight. No, but we'll cover these that we need to tonight. Here in John chapter 14, yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read a couple verses here. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Everybody say truth. Now see, false would be opposite of that, wouldn't it? Yes. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Right. All right? So here's the thing. We've got the Spirit of truth on the inside of us. Yes. And therefore, anything false ought to set off an alarm in us. Yes. Now sometimes, you know, and there's a lot of verses in the New Testament and that talk about in these last times about the increase in false doctrine and doctrine of devils and these false prophets and people having, Paul warned Timothy about people going to have itching ears, heaping unto themselves teachers that basically tell them what they like to hear. You know, the ministry's job's not to tell you what you like to hear. He said right before that, he said, preach the word, be in season and out of season. Be instant, be ready, correcting, rebuking. The Amplified says, you as a preacher of the word of God, show others where their life is wrong. Well, don't presuppose everybody, I mean, none of us are perfect, right? Okay, well, some of you, we've got a lot more perfect people in here than unperfect. All right, that's good, praise the Lord. But none of us are perfect. But in a sense, the word of God brings correction to our life. Yes. So that we can what? Be conformed to the image of God's dear son and grow up into him. Yes. Now, in chapter 16 of John, speaking again about the Holy Spirit, verse 13, just to jump right in here. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he... the Spirit of truth. Notice here again, Jesus refers to him as the Spirit of truth. Chapter 15, verse 26, same thing, Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now verse 14, very important to me. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In every instance of there being a false prophet or false teaching and wolves in sheep clothing, you're gonna have a diversion of who gets the glory. Because if it's God's Spirit, Jesus always gets the glory. 100% of the time. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, I wonder if that was God or was that not. If Jesus was lifted up, if he was glorified, then you know that was of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, you know, people sometimes they say, we all, at times, you know, we might get in the flesh. We might be moving by the Spirit from one time to another. You know, Peter one time said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus blessed him because he said, the Lord told you that. Right after that, he said, Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer and die. And Peter rebuked him, said, not so, Lord. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I mean, same guy, yielded to God and yielded to the devil. And it happens sometimes. And sometimes, you know, and we understand that sometimes we start out in the flesh and end up in the Spirit. But we ought not stay in the flesh. Hallelujah. And in endeavor, I'd rather you at least start and try than just sit there like a bump on a log, right? And just do nothing. But then again, we want what's true. We want what's right. And so, Jesus being glorified. So much of the time, look in Acts chapter 20. So much of the time when there's, you know, you look at things and you wonder, what's the pull of that? Because you look at something and you say, that doesn't agree with the word of God. What's the great pull of that? And every time I look at it, I see there's a strong personality behind it that's drawing attention to the messenger instead of the message. Amen. And when you watch that, you know, that's like, you know, the seven sons of Sceva missed it in that when they tried to cast out devils, they said, we cast you out in the name of Paul, whom Jesus preaches. See, they were trying to go through Paul. They were trying to go through the person Paul. See, and Paul, that wasn't Paul's deal. He's trying to glorify Jesus. Now, in our society, we have to watch. We want to make stars out of people. We want to put them up on a, you know. Listen, the only reason that pastor stands up here on Sunday morning is so everybody can see who's speaking. So he can relate to. That's the only reason you put a platform so you can see and relate to that. Amen. It's not to glorify the minister. And so, you know, in this we have to watch. Now here Paul made an interesting statement here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And we'll read down through verse 32 here. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, a couple things there. The Holy Ghost has made them overseers. Their function was to feed the church of God. Now, verse 29. For know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, here Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? These false prophets were like wolves in sheep's clothing. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Notice this line. To draw away disciples after them. Do you remember how Paul came out so strong to the Corinthians and said, look, some of you are saying I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter. Others of you really puff out your chest and I'm of Christ. He said, who is Paul or who's Peter? Who's Apollos? But the people that God used to preach you the gospel. He went on to say, you're carnal in that you're striving with one another. He said, Apollos and I are fellow workers together. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Notice here, he said, after I leave, these wolves are in. And then even people rising up from within who get off. And they're trying to draw disciples after them. I don't think it ever was the thought Brother Hagin and Pastor Hagin, the Hagin's mind, to draw away, to make disciples, to make Ramites out of anybody. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I've heard people call us that. They can call you whatever you want. It matters very little what you call me.
That's right. Okay?
Because I already know who I am. I know my name. So you call me whatever you want. I know who I am.
Amen.
I've kind of always been that way, and that's kind of, you know. So I've been called a lot. I told somebody one time, I said, you can yell at me all you want. I've been yelled at by experts. Just yell if you need to. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now read here, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul said, this is something that I spent for the space of 3 years here as I was with you. I warned you about these things because after I leave, these things are going to happen. And we'll see that, you know, these things increase in our day and are increasing in our time. And so we need to be ready. He wasn't warning them because of telling them that because they were going to, that he was, or that it was going to bother them that much. But he wanted them to know about it. And to know how to stand against these things. Now he gets them to verse 32 and says, I commend you to God, brethren, to the word of his grace. What's that? That's the Bible, right? Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, among all them which are sanctified. Now, interesting, verse 33, I've coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. That's that part of drawing disciples unto yourself. Because with the disciples comes the gold, the silver, and the apparel. If you're false, that's what you're after. See, I'm not about, the wolf doesn't care about feeding you and helping you be strong. The wolf just wants to fatten you up so they can feed off you. Right? You see, watch, as you watch, as you see things happen, you ought to be able to look and say, well, wait a minute, are they feeding me or are they feeding off me? Because the job of the ministry is to feed us, not to feed off of us. Now, the laborer is worthy of his hire, and yes, we've received spiritual things. They should receive natural things of us. Yes, all those things are in the Bible. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not putting any of that away. But I'm telling you, we need to be, I think Pastor Marvin here spent a couple sessions in this last several months on discerning. We need to have discernment in the body of Christ, be able to tell these things. Now let's look at Romans 16. Praise the Lord. You see, we need to stay with the word of God. It is able. Stay with the word. Judge everything. What's the word say about that? And you know, one of the tricks that he talked about Paul said that in the last days, people will heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears, heaping up to themselves teachers, always wanting to hear something new, something that, what to say, it kind of scratches your itch, tickles your ears, something you want to hear. I tell you what, not everything in the Word of God did I necessarily want to hear, because some of it requires quite a bit out of us. Oh, yeah, the message that, oh, yeah, just sit back and let everything, and let, just sit back, Jesus has already done it all. That sounds great. But he can't walk in love for you. He can't sow seed for you. He can't, you know, get down in the mud for you and help somebody up out of the mud and clean them up. You've got to do that. Yes, Jesus finished the work at the cross, but what work? Paul said, Paul made a statement, he said, I'm finishing up that which was lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. What's it mean? Paul said, I had to go. Jesus isn't going to go do for you what he's called you to do. He delegated it to you. You go do it. Well, Jesus, just go over to that person, just minister to them, just go on over there and let them know that you love them, Jesus. Just go tell them that you love them. No, he told you, you go tell him. So we got to understand, see, we can't, sometimes the statements are made without any foundation given for where the statement comes from. And if you're not careful, you give out the wrong idea. Amen. But there's requirements. I mean, in all of it, that's not necessarily our message tonight, but. All right, chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, Romans 16, 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Well, that tells me this. We ought not be simple. Yes. We need to be, as we said, discerning. We need to have some depth to us from the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. Every day. See what the Word has to say. And I would suggest to you that you go over all the time. Over and over all the time, those in Christ realities, in Him realities. And when you're part of a local church like this, like we are, and our pastor preaches us the Word of God, and he's been doing these series, you know, about 2, 3, 4 week series, go over that material over and over again. Why? It's feeding you. It's proper nutrition. Okay? You know, every once in a while, you got to eat some asparagus and some broccoli and some green beans and baby, I don't know what they coated that stuff with. Boy, I ate at Cracker Barrel last night, and I can still taste those baby carrots. I don't know what it is about their carrots, but and their country green beans. We won't talk about the chicken fried chicken and the mashed potatoes and gravy and all that I ate, but I ate the vegetables too. I said, hurry up and get done. I'm ready to go eat now, right? 2 Peter chapter 2. Look what Peter said about this. This is just some thoughts to get us thinking about these things and putting us in a position. Listen, and you don't need to, here's the thing. Don't call, you know, try to get a hold of Pastor Hagin and say, Pastor Hagin, what do you think about? No, you get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God for yourself. You don't need, you know, I especially when I worked in the alumni department, I used to get it a lot. But people call in and say, what did Brother Hagin say about, I don't know, you know, I'm you know, I don't know if they thought I was a catalog of everything Brother Hagin ever said or what. So, about what? Well, what did he say about this or that? I said, well, I don't know what he said, but I know what the Bible said. The Bible said this, this, and this. Yes, yes. Well, yeah, I know that. I just want to know what Brother Hagin said about it. I said, well, he probably agreed with this. I don't know. You read the book. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or lascivious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now that's one of the things that also comes with this. You'll see evidence of this with this false teaching and false doctrine and false prophets is loose living. Lascivious ways. Now see, Jude made the comment. He said, beware of those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, saying that God's grace allows me to live any way I want to. He said, beware of that. Because grace doesn't lead you to loose living. Grace leads you to holy living. Thank God for the grace of God. Hallelujah. But it leads me to holiness. The more grace I walk in of God, the more like Him I live. Right? It draws me closer to Him, not pushing me away to live like the devil. I don't know how that ever came and said, grace lets me live like the devil. No. Grace came to snatch me out of the hands of the devil so I could be like my Father. Hallelujah. And it keeps helping me. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 3. And through covetousness, here's that again. This is the third time now we've seen this. They're out for their own themselves. Shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not? There's going to be pretty harsh judgment on that from God's standpoint. But we need to recognize it for ourselves to help ourselves. Now look at 1 John chapter 4. There, the epistle, the letter of John. Now, Jesus, remember we read there that the Holy Spirit is in all things is going to glorify Jesus. Is that right? Amen. It's going to glorify Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I just keep hearing this come up. Let me just stay on this for a minute, on this subject, the subject of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Grace so frees me from working for God that it just empowers me to live for Him. That I know that He loves me so much, it empowers me just to live so much because I'm guaranteed by His grace that He loves me. And it frees me. Knowing that there's no way that I'll ever be separated from the love of God frees me then to do whatever God's called me to do. It just empowers you. It's such a wonderful position to live in. But it's so far removed from a lot of what we're hearing today. And so there, understand that. Now, think about this. Why, if you're the enemy of somebody, how are you going to try to defeat them? You're going to try to take something that is meant to be a major empowerment and blessing to them and pervert it in such a way that it takes the power away from it, yet they still think they have it. You see, when you take holiness away from grace, it perverts grace and it makes grace powerless in our lives. Let me say that again. You take holiness away from grace, it perverts grace and takes the power away from grace in our lives. Holy living, or just, let's say holy, well, that sounds, ooh, you know, holy, that's, I can't, no. Just doing what the Bible says. Every time you do what the Word of God says, you're living in holiness. In other words, you're living like God, doing what God said. Amen. And so, you know, just make certain truths and continue. Paul told Timothy, continue. Yes, thank you. Continue in the things which you have learned, that from a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3 there, verse 14, 15. That from a child you have learned these things. This faith. He says not only the faith. He says you learned them from your mother, your grandmother. And then he says, verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. and his father. Continue in those things, he said. Continue in. He didn't say run after something new. Continue in. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, you know, you and I are supposed to be able to judge whether or not. When you hear the word judge, people, oh, wait a minute. Well, try. That's a courtroom. You understand? I'm not judging yourself. I'm just judging, is what you're saying of God or is it not? Please, folks, don't believe anything I say unless it agrees with the Word of God. Because what I say won't help you. What agrees with God's Word will help you. Now, he says, try every spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Well, what's that saying? That's another way to say Jesus isn't getting the glory. He's not being... See, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 real quickly here. Thank you, Lord. He says... Now, I stopped. Of course, you were ready for me to read verse 4, weren't you? Greater is he that's in you. You know that one, all right? So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. See, it's only the Holy Ghost that's going to lift up Jesus as Lord and glorify him as Lord and Savior. Only the Holy Ghost. The devil's never going to make that. He's never going to make that confession. And he's never going to lead anybody else in that. He's never going to glorify Jesus. There's always that. Listen, that to me is the greatest tell. I have to ask myself that question. I feel like, you know, when you're praying and you're seeking God and you want the leading of the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want in this situation? What do you want for my life? Is the direction I'm going, is that, and that leading that I feel like's the Lord, I sense, is that going to glorify Jesus? Or is that going to lift me up? You know, sometimes in following, we get concerned, and you should be. You should take into account the natural areas. But not every leading of the Lord leads you to a pot of gold immediately. The pot of gold's in heaven, folks, okay? That's going to be the ultimate payoff. But there are sacrifices here in this life sometimes to obey the leading of God. There's sacrifices to make sometimes. You know, God, you know, you've been blessed, you're in a certain place, but then God starts dealing with you about going and doing something else, and you start looking at that, and it doesn't look like that. Why would anybody do that? You've heard Pastor Hagin tell that story over and over again about them in his position as the associate pastor there at his father-in-law's church, and he was set up that he was going to take the church over. From, you know, when his father-in-law was ready for that, and that time was coming fairly soon, and they were going to be the pastors, and God told him to come here, you know. And he brings that up every time about no preaching responsibilities. Why is that such a big deal to him? Because he's a preacher. I mean, that's why he always brings that part out, because, you know, and now he's not preaching at all. And they're making less money than they ever did. At least from where they were at that point. But it was God. You see. They sure didn't move here to make a name for themselves. Because for themselves, it looked like a demotion. Now, that doesn't mean that's God every time it's a demotion, all right? But you understand, who's going to get the glory in this? I still hear Brother Hagin said, when there's a student... Pastor Marvin and I were in the same classes there. He said, you know, the devil will try to imitate God's voice and imitate his leading and make it sound a lot like God. I'm going to use you. I'm going to promote you and your ministry is going to be known throughout the world. And I'm going to do great things and signs and wonders. And people are going to want you to come and minister all over the world. And you're going to be this and this. And it's going to be a great blessing. The only problem was there never was a mention of Jesus being glorified in any of that. Now, you could have the motivation that, yes, oh, that's something because that's what I want. Because when I do, you know, but you see, listen, that's not God. Because everything of God is going to bring glory to Jesus. Amen. God may call you to go somewhere, and that all may happen. Amen. And we have people that leave here all the time. They're part of this church. They're going out doing just things that just are beyond what you could ask or think all over the world. But they're not doing it to bring attention to themselves. They're doing it to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians, he says, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. So these times here in which we live, these times that we read there, there a couple the Wednesday ago about then in the last days, perilous times, and all these things are going to happen. These things that are happening, God surely knew about in our day. But yet, we need to make sure that we are ready. We are ready. And we understand and we recognize the true. You see, because to understand, to ever see the false, you have to know the truth.
Yes, that's true. That's right.
Now, go back to Matthew chapter 7. Let's finish up with this tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. Glory to God. What's our responsibility? He said, beware of false prophets. These things are going to happen. Know them by their fruit, he said. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is of the kingdom of heaven. Many, many that even prophesied and cast out devils and you saw wonderful works. Doesn't mean that verified them. That just meant God was good. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In these times in which we live, it is a necessity that we are founded upon the rock of God's word. And that's not just knowing God's word, that's doing God's word. How are you and I going to keep ourselves from being influenced by these false prophets, by these false teachings, by false doctrine, by being founded on the word of God? Amen. Listen. When you know what an Oreo cookie tastes like, you can't slip somebody a Hydrox. Don't try that. Don't bring me a package of Hydrox, Mom, and tell me these are Oreos. Don't. I ask for Cheez-Its, not cheese nips. There's a difference. Because what? I know the real. Don't bring the fake. And we should know the real of the Word of God so well that when somebody tries to bring us the fake, no, 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 no. Now, don't throw the person out. You see, pray for them. Pray Ephesians 1 for them. The eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. You know. But not just know, act on the word of God. Be an active doer of the word of God. And that is a great safeguard from being deceived in life. James chapter 1. If you hear the word and aren't a doer, you deceive yourself. Amen? Praise the Lord. In these times in which we live, We need to be aware of certain things. These are the greatest times, in my opinion, to be alive on the face of the earth. Because these are the days. This is the days of great darkness, but it's also the day of great light. There's great things. God is doing great things, and he's going to do a great work. And he is doing a great work. And I believe it's going to be a quick supernatural move upon the face of this earth, where you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles, not to bring glory to any man, not to lift up any denomination or any group of people, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he's lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto myself. And when all men are drawn unto him, then the end shall come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to receive that second offering that Brother Bill mentioned tonight in honor of our pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. 50 years of marriage. Glory to God. How many in here are not even 50 years old yet? You're not even, haven't even lived that long. Wave your hand real big. They've been married now almost 50 years here, coming up in just a few days in this month. 50 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we honor them. Plus, this is Christmas time, and you're always so generous and give a great Christmas offering to Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. And so we thank you for that. You know, I just think about Rhema Bible Church, and one of the characteristics that I've always thought about this place is generosity. Very generous place. The church, the members of the church, the congregation. I know before, you know, as part of the church and church members here, it was always, you know, you always wanted, I know my thought was I always wanted to be able to do more. What can I give? And I've just noticed that's just how this church is. I always have a desire and a love to give and to bless others. Amen. So I want to commend you and thank you for that. You're such a blessing. We're going to receive that. If you want a text to give, 28950, type Hagen in. Put a space and then the amount if you want to give. Of course, you can write a check, write it out to Rhema Bible Church or RBC. And that, and then also, obviously, cash and always. And I'm going to get out a little extra, so doubled up on my extra today to put in this offering. Amen. If you cast your seed out on every wave, it'll come back on every wave, right? Put the bread out there, it'll keep coming back. And so we're planting seed tonight into this, our wonderful pastors, who are surely worthy of double whatever we can give them. Amen. So we trust God. You ready tonight? We're going to receive this offering. Let's pray, and let's play a prayer blessing over them as we give tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for our pastors. Thank you tonight, Father. We rejoice with them. 50 years of marriage. 50 years of your faithfulness to them. 50 years of your love being manifest with them. 50 years, Father, we give you glory and honor to the testimony that your word works in all areas. Thank you, Father God, for them. Thank you for making us to be a part of this church and making them to be our pastors. Father, we love them and we appreciate them so much. Thank you for that gift of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen to us. And so, Father, tonight we bring back blessing. We bring back in our finances to be a blessing to them. May they be overwhelmed, Father God, with our love for them, because we surely do. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Let's go ahead and serve the folks, ushers, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're watching there online, you can give if you want to do that. Hallelujah. Now, of course, Wednesday night, Pastor will be here, but if you want to give Wednesday night, amen, you can take care of that then, or you can always text to give at any time during the week. I want to thank all of you that tuned in tonight and watched tonight on the Rhema app or on rhema.tv. We're so glad that you tuned in with us tonight. And wherever you are there, hopefully, we know some on Sunday mornings, this is their local church, but wherever you are, hopefully, you can go on the Rhema Bible Church or the Kenneth Hagen Ministries website. And over on the left, there's a place that says Find a Church. You can find a church pastored by one of our graduates, maybe in your area. And if that's the case, boy, go over there and hook up with them and do your best to help Jesus be glorified in that church and in that city. Amen. And it'll be a great, wonderful thing. We thank God for all the people of God everywhere around the world. Right? Not just Rhema folks. We're just thank God for, don't you thank God for Christians? Amen. Greatest group of people on the face of the earth. Just love the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. If our If our prayer teams would go ahead and come on down now. Amen. Remember all the announcements that Brother Bill talked about. And boy, if you need to read that church bulletin, it's got so much going on. And whatever it is that you're a part of, go ahead and be a part of that. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come on down and pray. The ladies, come to one of the ladies, men to one of the men. If you need prayer in any area for anything tonight, these folks will agree with you according to the good word of God, because we know the word of God produces results. Everybody stand up. All right. If you shake hands with two or three folks and tell them that you love them with the love of the Lord, you can be dismissed tonight. God bless you.